Today's show is brought to you by KickUp. KickUp helps leaders ask the right questions to get actionable data, visualize information to guide effective next steps, and track teacher growth over time. Learn more at kickup.co. This fall's top conference for educators and leaders is the What Great Educators Do Differently conference. It'll be held October 14th and 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. See speakers like Jeff Zoell, Ken Williams, and Lavana Roth, all past guests here on the show. Register today at WGEDD.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Hey there, this is Danny Sunshine Bauer coming to you with another Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. This is another experimental episode. Not sure how people are going to respond. My goal is just to bring more value every single week. And I mentioned last Monday that it actually bothers me that not everybody's in the mastermind reading the great leadership books. So I was thinking one way I could add value back, time permitting, is to do some just high-level summaries, the big insights that really impacted me. So that's what today's about. There's going to be two sections. Number one, it's going to be about the merger that Disney and Pixar had. There was a lot of cultural stuff that they had to navigate. And I can't help but wonder, is that something that we walk into when we're principals, school leaders, and in a new setting or inheriting new cultures, new staff members, and all that? So what could we take away? The second part that I want to discuss in this is what's called Notes Day. Now, listen, I am really pumped to bring you some content about notes. Who could say that? Notes Day. But that's going to be the second part of the podcast. So listen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I never take that for granted. The podcast continues to get more downloads and it helps. Will you spread the word through social media? Will you click subscribe and leave a rating or review? When you do that, we're able to reach even more of a wider audience and impact more leaders. So I truly, truly, truly appreciate you listening, sending comments, tweets, all that. Hit and subscribe, rating, and review. Without any more of this blabbing, let's start the show. So Disney used to be an animating juggernaut, and then they hit this lull, and they just were producing garbage for the longest time. There was a renaissance in the 90s. That's when movies like Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and those came out. And then they went off the map again. Their resurgence didn't happen until Pixar had merged with them. And it was through the leadership, the systems and structures that Ed Catmull and his leadership crew brought to Disney that helped them come to greatness again. And so when Ed stepped into Disney and that merger happened, he was inheriting a very, very sick culture. Change number one that he took was to move his office. So the takeaway I want you to think while you're listening to this podcast, what does your office in your school say about you? Think about that. The office in Disney prior to Pixar inheriting it and merging was on the second floor. It was in this executive suite. It was upstairs. There was an imposing portal and it really said, do not enter. There were also just a number of secretarial cubicles that you had to navigate like a maze just to get to the executives to pick their brain, to communicate, to try to make the organization better. So change number one was to move the office. They removed all the secretary cubicles. They moved from the suite on the second floor and plopped their office right into the middle of all the action where everybody animated and created the movies. They installed, and this would be hard for a school leader, you know, based on your budget, but they installed this beautiful, bright colored carpet, and the carpet led exactly directly into their offices. So it was almost like, we want you to come this way. And the last thing they did was they always kept their shades open. It was a metaphor for that we want to be transparent, that we want to be approachable. So I want to pause here, challenge all the listeners, and really think, how is your office set up? Where is it located? Are the shades drawn or are they open? What does the office say about you? Is it difficult for your community, your students, your staff members to get to you. Is that good? Is it bad? Do you want to be approachable? And if so, what could you do to change? There's a few other changes that the Pixar leaders made with Disney that really helped them in their resurgence. Number one, they offered sincere praise. And Ed in the book talks about how sincere praise is often much more valuable than money. And guess what? We need that as school leaders because we don't have money. If you're like me in Chicago, my school, just one school's budget got cut by over $500,000. And we had to close that gap. And the bigger challenge, we couldn't close the gap by ordering less technology, looking at other resources, textbooks, you know, anything. It had to come from personnel. That means we had to cut people, class sizes increased. Imagine what that did to the culture. And we had to get creative so that we didn't lose people. But going back to the change that Pixar made in Disney, they offered sincere praise, which Ed says is more valuable than money. So question here, leaders, listeners, how often are you praising your people sincerely? And, you know, if you have a fantastic way of doing that, tweet me at Alien Earbud. Let me know what that is. And check out on the blog, betterleadersbetterschools.com/staff-appreciation-ideas. And there's 11 or 12 experts weighed in that I know that are school leaders, and they shared their best ideas of how they appreciate people. I'll link it up in the show notes, but that's just a resource for you as well. Another change that they made, number two, number three, because I said number one just a second ago. Anyways, easy wasn't the goal, okay? Easy was not the goal. Quality was the goal. And through very specific systems and responses, they were able to change a culture that was afraid of fear. It had a fear of failure. People wanted everything to be perfect, and so they didn't come clean when there were problems. They didn't collaborate because they didn't want to be able to share what they didn't know. The culture was like, you do it right the first way or else. And guess what? That stifles innovation. That stifles communication and collaboration. So they said easy wasn't the goal. Quality was the goal. We want you to make mistakes so we can improve on those. That's just like as I was a writing teacher. That's the writing process. Your first draft stinks. If you read Annie Lamont, she has a famous saying, and it's SFD. You could think of what the S stands for, and it's poopy first drafts. Okay, so those are SFDs. We want people to make mistakes so we can improve. So the number four changed because now I'm getting back to my numbers. They started a story trust. If you listen to last Monday's episode, I talked about brain trust. But the big idea there is you get a group of smart people, you put them in a room, and you ask them to solve a complicated problem through candid feedback, giving critiques on this is how we move forward. It wasn't about the people. It's about the work. It's about the great storytelling. And the brain trust didn't have authority, so it was up to the director on how he or she responded, but they had to respond to the critiques. So at Disney, they started something called the story trust instead of the brain trust. That was just their version. And another thing we can learn from that, go back to listen to last week's episode, but what we can learn from that too is the Disney employees that were going to run the story trust, they went to Pixar to watch how a brain trust ran. So whenever you can, you're networking at conferences within your district, within your city, within your state, find those schools that are just crushing it with student achievement, build relationships with those people, be humble and say, I want to learn from you, and ask to visit their school. That's what Disney did here. They visited Pixar, and their story trusts were modeled after brain trusts. So the biggest takeaways that I have from this merger is this. How often do you walk in a school or you've been at a school and you just think, man, if I could just make 4, 5, 6, 7, who knows, a number of personnel changes, we really could be something special. Disney was a broken culture when the leaders of Pixar inherited it. And I want you to take heed to what I'm about to say. They did not change their people. It was better systems, relationships, trust, and the same people equaled greatness. So you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I putting in place for my people to truly be successful? Now, of course, if people aren't the right fit for the bus, you got to get rid of them. You're going to have to, you know, make some changes there. But give them a chance. Are you providing the right type of structure, the resources, the time, so that people can truly be great? And that's what Pixar did at Disney. How often do we want to start with a blank slate? Maybe the problem isn't the people, the blank slate. Maybe the problem is us. Maybe the people just need better leadership, better systems, trust, and acknowledgement. Let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy-to-use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs, creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Today's podcast is sponsored by the What Great Educators Do Differently conference on October 14th and 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. Let me give you two reasons to attend. There's visionary presenters at each What Great Educators Do Differently conference. You'll learn from a dozen or more presenters who are recognized nationally and internationally as among the foremost educational thinkers in the field. There's also connection opportunities. In addition to learning from presenters who are accomplished educational trailblazers, each What Great Educators Do Differently conference has time built into the schedule for a mini unconference, allowing intentional time for attendees from all over to network and discuss issues in which they're interested. You can learn more at WGEDD.com. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. Now, back to the show. Hey, so welcome back to this bonus episode of Better Leaders, Better Schools. This is an experiment I'm running like I did last week when I talked about brain trust and masterminds. This week, we're talking about the Disney-Pixar merger. That was the beginning of this podcast. Now we're talking about Notes Days, and I am excited to bring you this. Notes Day is going to revolutionize schools. If we can implement it with fidelity and the right way, the right fit for our schools. Notes Days was created because Pixar faced two big problems. Number one, they had a rising cost of movies, and they had to figure out how can we create movies in fewer weeks and for a smaller budget. The movies had just grown to an exorbitant price. They had to figure that out. Number two, Pixar had grown very large in terms of the company and the people that they hired. As a result, they lost some of the values that made Pixar great in the beginning. They had lost intimacy, collaboration, and candor. So Notes Day became the solution. I love this. The idea was to ask people closest to the problem to fix it, to find the solution. And if you're a student of history, or if you just read like, you know, what makes some businesses great, there's this guy right after World War II. His name was W. Edwards Deming. And he was American. I think he was an American businessman out of Wyoming, maybe. Anyways, Japan trusted him to rebuild their economy. And part of the reason he went to Japan is because Americans wouldn't listen to them. He had an idea about how car assembly lines should operate. And in America at the time, we were dominating the auto industry, and we were pumping out cars like crazy. And it was about efficiency, speed, and low cost of production. His idea was a little different in that it focused on quality. At the time, like I said, America was dominating. Japanese products were complete garbage. Fast forward a number of decades, right? What's the most reliable cars? Toyotas, Honda. They're made in Japan, and that's because they incorporated Deming's model of the car assembly line. He wanted to empower the workers on the assembly line, not the managers, not the executives, or I should say in addition to the managers and the executives, the people closest to the problem were able to pull this rope that led to a bell and a light, and it stopped production because there was an error. And since the focus was on quality, they fixed the problem there. And soon Japan started to create amazing cars because that was the only thing they produced. It was quality. Quality over quantity, over efficiency, and all that. So this is what Pixar did with NoteStay. They said, we have some major problems. You guys are close to it. How are we going to fix it? NoteStay was a mandatory day. Everyone absolutely had to participate. Now, I think that's a good thing because, one, it says that we need you, the people. We can't be great without you. Plus, if you got some naysayers, some people that, you know, are just grumbling or whatever, sometimes, or maybe they're just novices, but sometimes you get them involved in something, you don't know the benefits on the other side of it. So they wanted everybody to participate. They started off with electronic suggestion box topics. People they found started solving the problems through shared wiki pages and blogs before NoteStay even started. NoteStay had an EdCamp style in the sense that the community said, here are the core issues we are facing. Here's how we can get back to the intimacy, collaboration, and candor that made Pixar great. The people also enrolled in the breakout sessions, just like in EdCamp. They say, here's where I want to go. They enroll. Unlike EdCamp, these sessions were prepared weeks in advance. The session leaders were trained in how to facilitate the conversations. There was a structure for every session. And this is pretty cool, too. They used different color forms. They had red proposals, blue for brainstorms, and yellow for best practices. Helped them just stay very organized from the crowdsourced ideas that came out of the NoteStay sessions. Here's my favorite part, though. They asked a question that is truly inspiring in all their sessions to help the people think through the solutions. Listen to this. Imagine it's 2017. We've broken down barriers so that people feel safe to speak up. Senior employees are open to new processes. What did we do to achieve this success? I love that question so much because it has people dreaming about the future. It's like they have a vision for where Pixar was going. So let's substitute the Pixar ideas and enter school stuff. Imagine it's 2017. We've broken down barriers so that people feel safe to speak up. We've provided the staff with all the resources and time they needed to ensure that every single student, listen to this, met or exceeded state standards or whatever school, you know, goal you want to create. What did we do to achieve this success? I think that would be fantastic to ask that type of question. And I've been at schools that ask equally inspiring questions, but here's where Pixar made it a little bit different. It's the what did we achieve or what did we do to achieve this success? And they had people also think, what were the benefits to Pixar that these ideas would bring? What were the benefits to your school that these ideas would bring? What should the next steps be to make them a reality? Who's the best audience for this idea? Who should pitch this idea? And what I see there is they empowered. They said, we trust our people so much. They're smart. We hired them. We trust you so much to find the solutions. We also want you to say, here's the next steps we need to take and identify a pitch or a point person. Who's going to lead this work? As a school leader, as a principal, assistant principal, instructional coach, teacher, leader, you can't do it all yourself. You need to create a team. Who's going to be on that team? So they figured that out through crowdsourcing the solutions to their problems, and NoteStay was a crazy, crazy success. Ed Catmull received hundreds of emails the next day talking about what it meant to the Pixar culture. And I hope you do something similar at your school. It's right for a lot of us, school's about to begin. And it's just a seed I want to plant in your head because I truly think that this is something that could really inspire and change and impact the way we run our schools. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.